Children's Church is now dismissed. If you have children from ages of kindergarten through sixth grade, we have a special ministry designed just for them. As I had mentioned, this week we're going to be looking at the hope that Christ brings to all of us, and we're going to meet an individual from the Scriptures out of the second chapter of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you brought them, please turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 25 through 32. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 1591. We're going to look at an individual named Simeon. And I really hope that you will find, as I have found, Simeon really intrigues me because of his unique situation and because of his unique favor that he found with the Lord and how God decided to use him, even though he was not someone who was of position or esteemed in society. He was a common person, and yet he waited and waited and waited and waited for the hope of God to appear. So follow along as I read out of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and when the parents, meaning Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. So Simeon's hope, you might say, well, hope isn't a very sure thing, and you would be correct if we translate or define hope with the way the world defines hope. You see, the world defines hope as saying, I hope this happens, I hope that happens. And it's a sense of unsureness, it's a sense that we're not sure if things are going to take place. I want to hear to tell you that the biblical concept of hope is it's a gift of God anticipating the fulfillment of God's promises to and purposes for the world. To put it more succinctly, biblical hope is a confident expectation. Hear that. Biblical hope is a confident expectation. There is no insecurity in biblical hope. There is no unsureness. There is no matter that is left to be undone. Meaning biblical hope, when we say, I have hope in Christ, it's that confident expectation that Jesus will do what he says he will do. And he has done what he says he has done. That's biblical hope. So for us to look at Simeon's life, we need to understand exactly what biblical hope is, and we need to really realize the false hope that this world gives to us. The false hope being these uncertainties, these insecurities, these sense of unknowingness. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is unchanging, and biblical hope is a confident expectation in that immutability or that unchangingness of God. But biblical hope requires two things. The first, it requires an honest faith in the true God. And yes, I said true, and that is the qualifier right there, because we can have many things to be our God, and that will not provide biblical hope for us. It has to be honest faith in the true God. And the second thing is obedience to God. You see, if I'm disobedient, I'm not going to have that confident expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. If I'm obedient, then I have that confidence in God because my relationship with God is going to be solidified. It's going to be made right. Simeon exemplified both of these traits, meaning he possessed an honest faith in the true God, and he was obedient to God's will. But you might ask, as I did when I began to really ponder this, who was Simeon? You know, this is one of the only times in the whole scripture that Simeon is ever mentioned. And we're not told much about him, even in the extra-biblical literature, the writings, the history. Simeon was really overlooked. We don't know a whole lot. Simeon, the name, means God has heard. And truly, we can see that God truly did hear his life, and truly, God found favor in him. The tradition of the church says that Simeon was 113 years old. And so when we picture this, there's no validity to that, or there is no proof to substantiate that. And yet, when we see a phrase that, "You told me I would not depart from this world until I saw the consolation of Israel," we have to picture an elderly individual. Therefore, Simeon was probably part of the faithful remnant who looked and earnestly desired for the arrival of the Messiah. And we might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, there was a 400-year period where God was silent, and yet these individuals constantly look forward to the arrival of the Messiah. The prophecies of Isaiah and the prophecies of Jeremiah foretelling of this Messiah that would come and bring salvation to the individual and to the whole nation would be at the fore of these individuals' minds. But here's the interesting. Simeon really wasn't a position, a man of position. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't part of the Pharisees. He wasn't even a member of the Sadducees. But more likely, Simeon was a layperson. A layperson. So he didn't have a fancy title. He wasn't one individual in the temple that had the right to do only the special things. Simeon was a common person. And yet God found favor with him. And when I think of that, I think of, oh, what the church as a whole could do with such devout and righteous laity, common people who are sold out for God's will, and their heart is God's heart. See, Simeon was a man of integrity. He was a man who cared deeply for his people, and he was a man who yearned to be in fellowship with his Lord. I want you to notice with me three elements which true biblical hope will produce and it will motivate all of us to do. And we're going to look in verse 25 specifically out of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. The first thing is biblical hope leads to focus. Now remember, biblical hope is a confident expectation. It's the expectation that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And Simeon, in verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." You see this focus for Simeon. I'm sure that he went to the temple time and time again, day after day, and maybe not every day, but there had to be, being 113 years old, there had to be times in Simeon's life that he might have thought, you know what, this is never going to happen. It's never going to come to pass. It just doesn't make sense. I believe you, God, but help my unbelief. I truly believe he got there. Because I truly believe that being 113 years old, maybe later on in his life, maybe he did not struggle with the discouragement and the doubt so much. But we're not told when he got this promise. We're not told when God revealed this word to him. All we're told is that he was righteous and devout, and he constantly was looking for the consolation of Israel. You and I have a choice too. We can focus on the cares of this world. We can focus upon selfish desires. We can focus upon others and forget the Lord altogether. We can focus upon our job, our work, our position, our status, our material stuff. We can focus upon those elements which will expand the kingdom of God. You see, I really have to believe that Simeon, he chose day in and day out to focus on the promise of God, looking for the consolation of Israel. Consolation Israel is just a fancy way meaning comfort or encouragement or solace, meaning Simeon was looking for that personal salvation that Jesus would break into this world and bring. And sure enough, he saw it. He saw it. And friends, that personal salvation is yours and mine too. If we focus in the right direction, if we look for the right things. And so, first thing we can learn from the life of Simeon is how we need to focus. You might say, but he got a promise. He got a specific promise, and yes, that's true. But friends, you and I have been given promises by God as well. God has promised us eternal life. He has promised us eternity. He has promised us abundant life. And yes, it may not be the type of life that you would want or we would want, but Jesus said that he has come so that we might have life and life to the full. And my question is, where are we focusing? Are we focusing in the horizontal, or are we focusing in on the vertical and focusing in on what God has promised to us? He's promised us peace, not as the world gives to us, but peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. God's promised us rest from our burdens if we turn to him. He's promised us joy, an unending joy. And friends, these are not an all-encompassing list. I stopped right there. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'm here to tell you, I've got a book about 2 inches thick of the promises of God and what God has promised to all of us who hope in him and we focus on him. But notice where this focus led Simeon. It led him to determination in his life. Again in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. Now if you're like me and you've wanted stuff and you felt like God has abandoned you at various particular times in life, and you think, you know what, why even bother? You know what, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's anybody in here 113 years old. And the reality is, Simeon, the bottom line is you think day after day after day after day, and yet he had that unending focus on God's promise and a determination to live his life that would be God-honoring and God-fearing, to be even called by the Lord to be righteous and devout. Devout, it carries the meaning cautious in the classical Greek. This Greek word is used only in Luke's writings, and notice this, only in Luke's writings. And it describes those who are reverent toward God. You want to know what kind of character Simeon had? He was a reverent, holy, pious, he was a God-fearing man. That's what characterized Simeon. And so he determined in his life, he determined day in and day out to do things that would only cultivate that sense of character. Because his focus was right. His focus was right, and his determination was properly engaged in the right direction. And so Simeon sought to be careful to obey and honor God so as to lead an exemplary life even before others. His unwavering focus upon God's promise caused him to live a life of righteousness and being devout. So what are we determined to do? We all have choices each and every day. We all can wake up and determine to live our own way, to do our own thing, to go our own places. We all have choices to focus on what we want to focus on, or to turn to God and seek the living God, the Lord of the universe, the one that transcends all of everything. Or we can just wash all that away and do our own thing. My hope and my prayer, my hope there being, is that I know God, and I have a confident expectation that he will do his part. My hope for all of us, using it in a worldly sense, is that we would truly adhere to what God would have for us. May we all be like Simeon and set our focus upon God and allow it to lead us to be determined to live such lives that are reverent toward God and exemplary before others. But there's a third thing. Simeon's focus, his determination, and Simeon's hope led him to service. You see, the Holy Spirit was upon him, we're told at the end of verse 25, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. But in verse 27, if you move down and look a couple scriptures later, we are told that he was inspired by the Spirit, he was moved by the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And if you think about all these years, 113 years, and you think about when the promise was given, and we don't know, but yet we have to think that it had to have been some time, otherwise he wouldn't have reverberated back to God saying, you have given me this promise, and yes, it is now fulfilled. how he could have missed it if he wasn't in tune with the Spirit. How he could have missed it if he wasn't moved by the Spirit, if he wasn't led by the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you that if our focus is not right, if our determination is not right, then we will not be moved by the Spirit. We will not be led by the Spirit. We will not be inspired by the Holy Spirit. We'll be moved by our own desires, our own wants, our own yearnings. We'll be led by our own thoughts and our own abilities. And we will be inspired by our own depravity. And that's the bottom line. And so we start with focusing in on God. We determine to live a life honoring unto the Lord and pleasing unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And notice that progression. It starts with our focus. It starts with what we set our focus upon. And then it moves to determination and how we determine to apply that in our life and how we determine to live lives that are pleasing to God. And then it moves to service. And too oftentimes, friends, in our life, we take service and we plunk it right at the top of the list. And we say, we got to be busy. We got to do this. We got to go here. We got to go there. Simeon quietly went about doing his daily duties, day in, day out. All the while setting the groundwork of having the focus upon the living Lord's promise. And you and I, we can do the same thing. We can adhere to the promises that God has given to us, the promise of life and life eternal. And yes, salvation is here and now. It is for right now, friends. We can focus upon his promises, or we can focus on what we want and what we want to do. But then we participate with what God wants to do, and we partner, and we determine in our life to do our part. And lastly, we serve. We serve in unison and step with the Holy Spirit. We don't lag behind. Simeon lags behind. He misses Jesus being presented at the temple. Simeon runs ahead and he misses Jesus being presented at the temple. Simeon was right on time because he was focused upon God's plan and God's will. Simeon was determined to do his part by living such an exemplary life that God would call him righteous and devout. And only then Simeon felt the sense of the impelling call of the Holy Spirit, and he listened. So what did this cost Simeon? You might say it didn't cost him anything, but I'm going to share with you. It cost Simeon to abandon his will and commit to God's will. You see, biblical hope is that, and that's exactly what biblical hope does. Biblical hope calls us to a choice. It calls us to that choice. Are we going to abandon our will and commit to God's will? Or are we going to commit to our will and abandon God's will? I hope we abandon our will and commit to God's will. Simeon left his desires and he embraced God's desires. He quit serving just to serve, and he served in unison and in the power and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Simeon learned to wait upon God and to follow where God was leading. So where are you? Where am I this Advent season? As we look at the true sense of biblical hope, are you, am I, focused upon the Messiah, which December 25th we will celebrate and usher into in some form or another into our lives? Or are we focused upon those other elements of life which hold little or no meaning? Are we determined to be ready in our heart, to sanctify our heart, to set it apart, to consecrate our heart, to set it apart for God's use and for God's glory, our life and our soul for the arrival of the Christ child? Or are we simply moving through life in our own Christmas story? Are we yearning to serve in ways unbecoming to the Lord, meaning in our own desires, our own ways, our own strength, our own abilities, or are we seeking to be led by the Spirit and willingly following? See, friends, as we begin this Advent season, may we truly be the type of people such as Simeon, focused upon God's promises, namely Jesus the Messiah and all that Jesus ushered in for you and for me, to be determined to live God-honoring and fearing lives which are exemplary even to those who are outside the faith, and to serve in step with the Spirit's prompting and not on our own accord. Simeon's hope was focused upon God's will. He was determined to do his part, to partner with God. And it was serving in God's capacity. Would you pray with me? Precious Father, we thank you for individuals such as Simeon that you have given a historical record for. And oh, Jesus, what we can learn from these old saints of the past, that you have allowed us to see into their lives and you have allowed us to understand what true biblical hope is. It's that confident expectation in you and only in you. Jesus, we're thankful that you're not changing. You're immutable. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we thank you for all the promises that you bless us with each and every day. Father, may we adhere to these promises. May our focus turn our eyes and our hearts upon you and not grasp about what this world has to offer. But may we be truly determined to live righteously in your strength and to live devoutly as God-fearing, God-honoring individuals. And may we then and only then walk in unison with you. And may we serve you without any encumbrances or anything that would hold us back and those things that would hinder. But may we just serve you as you lead, Jesus. And may you receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. So, Father, allow us to grasp the confident expectation, which is biblical hope, of what you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, ushered in into this world on that so lonesome and so cold and frightening night. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We lift this to you in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.